This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, I'm going to be brief on the front end of this podcast because we have a lot of guests who are going to do their own speaking, and it was a result of something I posted on Facebook recently. I asked if there were people who have stories they'd like to share that had to do with their magic stuff being stolen from their car or from their yard or if they're working on the street or wherever. Anyhow, the point is, boy, I couldn't believe the outpouring of stories and people who wanted to talk about their issues or what had happened to them. I almost feel like a therapist. I think people feel better when they kind of get it out and talk about it at least a little bit. So there are some lessons to be learned, certainly, that they will share with you. And so I think some of the stories are rather tragic. Some are funny. And anyhow, I think that this is going to be something that you will really enjoy. Something completely different because of the variety of speakers that we have here this week. So I'm going to just turn it loose and let you... learn and enjoy the stories from all of my speakers here this week, here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and I've got with me as a guest today Mr. Taylor Martin from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi there, Taylor.
Hi there.
I understand that you have a story to tell, that you have had some of your stuff stolen, some of your magic stuff.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I was in a porn store.
Okay. That's a good start.
I was doing what people do in a porn store,
buying magic.
I came out to the car. Everybody used their imaginations. They aren't around anymore. There aren't that many of them. You could watch a movie a quarter at a time. Let's talk about that. So, but I went back in my singing telegram days. So it had to be about 1990-91, somewhere in there. And, I came out and the window was busted and somebody reached in and grabbed this bag that I had magic props in. I had publicity photos. I had a pom-pom stick. The only thing that I really regretted losing was a custom-made Okito box that was made out of stainless steel. And the man had made it for me and he had moved away and I was never able to replace it.
Now, had they stolen anything else or was it just your... case.
They just grabbed the first thing they could. It was, somebody probably figured, hey, he's going to be in there a while.
Yeah.
And they reached in the back window and grabbed it.
So I assume that you didn't have anything that said magic on the outside of the box or the bag so that they knew what it was. It just looked like a regular briefcase, something
they can grab easily.
Now, was it during the daytime, nighttime? What time of day was it?
It was actually during the daytime. It was a daytime.
And you were parked on the street or in a parking garage?
No, I was parked in their parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 or 4 o'clock and in the afternoon, and I came out and everything was gone. And I checked all the dumpsters in the neighborhood. It probably was just a thrill steal or something like that. And I'm sure they were very disappointed when they opened it. And all they found were lecture notes and these funny kinds of little devices and things. And they probably and a breakaway wand, and the pom pom stick. And they probably just chucked it into a dumpster and it disappeared.
About how much money do you think it was all worth?
Well, it was a Kavari, it was the original kind of pom-pom stick, and I'd say probably $300, $400.
And did you report that to the police?
No.
Okay.
No, I knew there was no way that they would take it seriously, and there was no way that anybody would, it was a thrill steal. It wasn't like I was at a show and somebody lifted something off the table.
Yeah.
I've had props broken by people who thought that while I was away, they could examine things, especially on the fairs that I do that are colonial fairs. There are no stages. I'm outside underneath a tree, things like that.
Yeah.
But, it's like trying to replace the rubber dam for a Al Baker rice bowl. Trying to find somebody who can make it properly is almost impossible. So I haven't been able to do that this year. Some little girl probably came up to him, poked holes in it,
So what is your advice then?
Don't go to porn stores. Don't go to porn stores with your magic equipment. I would think probably try to take everything out right away. Of course, that's really impossible a lot of times. My advice is also make sure you have insurance. make sure you have an inventory of everything that you have, which I do now. You know, I have insurance on my equipment that I travel with. Mm-hmm. And I think in the end, it's, if you don't, well, it's like being out on site. If you don't want it broken or you don't want it stolen, don't take it.
Well, I was thinking also from what you were saying is obviously it was in sight, and so people felt like, well, that must be worth something. But
yeah,
if that would have been in the trunk,
bag.
Perhaps they wouldn't have seen that. So maybe
it was just a black carry-all bag. Mm-hmm. It was something I'd probably gotten at a convention, and I filled it with stuff. I think my best advice is to make sure you have insurance and make sure you have an inventory, that you've taken pictures of it, that you can prove to your insurance company. It's like I use a vintage Thayer dye box right now, 1920. It's irreplaceable. There's no way you can, but I have a picture of it, and my insurance company knows I have it, and that if I it is stolen, we've already put a value on it of $500 or $600. And I think that's the important thing. You know, get insurance, have an inventory, and when something's stolen, know what is stolen. Don't just have things randomly put in a bag. You know, this is always in this bag, A, B, or C, or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Good advice. Well, thank you, Taylor, very much. I appreciate the story, and good luck in the future. I guess that was the only time you've had something stolen, so you've been cautious since then.
The only thing that I know that I've had something stolen. I mean, there are things that have been lost on the road, you know, small books and things that I think somebody probably lifted, but that's the only thing that was really of a major concern.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Appreciate it.
Great.
Right now I've got with me another friend from Oakland, California, Mr. Lynx Kim. Hi there, Lynx.
Hi.
And glad to have you. And tell me, I understand that you have had an experience with having some of your magic stolen.
Yes, I have. I've actually had it happened about four times now.
What? Four? I mean, twice is too many. Once is too many. Twice? Four times? Holy cow.
Yeah, you would think. Four times, I would have to say three of them were in when I was living in Colorado, and two of them here. Well, actually, no, they take that back. Five times. Two of them here in California, Oakland, and in San Francisco.
Have you just not learned the lesson yet, how to hide this stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's all circumstance. Majority of it was circumstance. Now, I will say that when I was in Colorado and it happened, where I was living at the time in Colorado Springs, I thought I was safe. I was parked at my house, and they came to the house, and that's where they broke into it. So, it goes to show no matter where you're at, it doesn't really matter. You know, they're going to find a way to get to it.
But now, did they break into your house or into your car on those occasions?
Just in the car. Just in the car. Yeah, I had each time, and you know, it's funny because each time I go back and I reassess how much stuff that I actually had in there, for me, the first time was because I do a lot of street performing, so a lot of my gear was in the trunk of my car, and I kept thinking, nobody's going to get into the trunk, why would they go in there? But, you know, crafty, so they break out the back window, they open up the back seat, they pull it down, because most back seats pull down. And then they climb in that way.
What would make them think that there's something in there? I mean, do you have a sign on the side of your car saying magic here or something, or a magician?
No. Well, you know, I find out it's not just they target one car. They target, like, several cars within the vicinity.
I see.
So, I talked to the police about that, and they said, well, you know, sometimes these guys, they travel in packs. Mm-hmm. So you'll get like, five guys going at one time to, like, 10 different cars at once. And they'll just rampage all of them. They'll sack it up, and they'll have a bicycle, and then they'll just take off, and they rummage later. I've heard stories where, there'll be like a whole city block, and you'll drive literally down the lane, and you'll see 15 cars in a row with glass busted out, just within a matter of minutes.
Yeah,
and it's crazy how fast that happens. For me, the magic that I assess, like, if I was to total it all up, I mean, from each break-in, all five break-ins, I've roughly had around, I would say, about $7,000 worth of magic stolen from me.
Mm-hmm. Mostly, I guess, like coins and things, I guess, and cups and
cups,
street magic stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Things that they wouldn't know how to use.
Exactly.
And if they picked it, it'd be like, you know, I had a Malloy's prediction chest taken, you know, and that's a big item.
Uh-huh.
And then I had my Gary Animal Knights cup set that I was using for street stuff back then, and you know, that's another like $1,000 item that was taken.
Yeah.
I You know, and everything from like what's another good one? Oh, you know, out of the recent set, I had a Sixth Sense, and a whole bunch of mentalism pieces in a backpack that I thought was safe because I had tucked it under my seat, so mm-hmm. there was no really see it.
Right.
Everything else looked clean and clear. And there's about $3,200 worth of stuff in that backpack, and it was gone, like GoPros, cameras, you name it.
Wow. Now, how long were you away from your vehicle? I mean, was it like an overnight thing, or did you go into a place like for lunch and come back and it had been broken into, or what?
One of them was at dinner. So I took my fiance out to dinner, and we had her car was broken into, and they climbed through the back seat and did the same thing. The other times were it's overnight, like I'm a late guy, so I stay up usually until about 12:30, 1, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
But you know, they usually hit right around 4, usually 5 o'clock in the morning, like right before people are about to get up. Hmm. You know, I talked to SFPD, which is actually kind of funny to me because I was in San Francisco and I was going to a friend's show, and I had a business card up in the front of my vehicle, and I got a call while I was inside the nightclub, and they said, "Hey, you know, Mr. Kim, we just wanted to call you to let you know that your car had been broken into." And I didn't recognize the number, and I was like, "What?" So I ran out, and sure enough, I guess the person that was breaking in didn't realize the police patrol that area because they have so many break-ins.
Uh-huh.
And caught the guy, and that was a first. I'd never heard of them catching the person right then and there.
So you got your stuff back from that one.
Yeah, so I got my stuff back from that one. But the other ones, you know, when you file the police report, and I tell this to everybody, I was like, you know, make sure that this is something that I do on a regular now, is one, if I know that I'm going to be going out that night and I'm at home, just unload your car. Take all your stuff. It doesn't matter how much crap you have. Put it in your house. Leave it there. Do not take it with you. You know, there's no reason if you're coming off a gig and you're parking your car, take pictures of everything that's inside your car. It takes about 30 seconds. It literally does. Everybody has a camera phone. You can just go through and just take pictures of it all.
Right.
Something that's new that's coming out. Well, not new. Something that's been out for a while, but I think the technology has gotten way better. Is little GPS systems that you can put in your gear now. I mean, it's flat. Some of them look like little coins, and you can
chip almost. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like a little chip, and you know, it's all cell phone activated, so you can locate it if it goes somewhere. And that's something I've been looking into because I think that you know that kind of technology has gotten better to the point where
right.
you can affordable now, and you can actually do it. Whereas back in the day, that you know, it's bulky stuff. There's just no way.
Do you think if you had it insured that you would have been able to get any of your money back?
You know, I've thought about the insured thing. That whole process, though, really is daunting, and it's kind of a headache to me because I think that, you know, insurance companies nowadays, they don't know, you know, like if you were to tell them I have this box and it does this effect and it's worth X amount of dollars, and to them, they don't know what that is. They're like, okay, if you gave them something tangible, like I had 3 GoPros, those are gone. They know what that is.
Right.
If you told them this is magic effect that's worth X amount of dollars, they have no clue. They don't know if there's an actual value behind that. You know, So for them, it's a little bit harder. I mean, you can do it. I know guys that do get their stuff insured. But to me, I look at it like I don't know if that's something that would actually be a feasible thing for them to back.
Well, that sounds certainly good advice. That is to make sure you don't leave your things in your car overnight. You know, sometimes whenever you're finished with a show, you're tired, you're exhausted, you get back and you think, I'll just unload that tomorrow morning. You know, so that's a good advice to say, think twice, bring it in now.
Right. And not only that, you have peace of mind too, that you know where your stuff's at.
Well, listen, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Lynx. Any other last words or suggestions?
Yeah, you know, my other suggestion is this: is if you do plan on leaving it in your car, cover it, store it low, keep it out of visibility. If you can, if you can't, just do your best. And that's all there really is, you know, that I can tell you about my experience. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I appreciate you sharing your story over there, and good luck in the future. Sounds like that you know now how to keep these things hidden. That sounds good. Good advice.
Thank you.
I have with me now Mr. Rudy Kobe, and he has an interesting story about how that you had lost some magic stuff. What happened there, Rudy?
Well, I was doing a huge festival here in Las Vegas, which I've done many times, called Electric Daisy Carnival, which is the world's biggest kind of rave concert. Uh-huh. It's the biggest stage in North America, 150,000 people a day, and I'm the only magician that performs at it because my stuff is crazy enough to go with it. Anyway, I've done it a bunch of times. It's at a racetrack. They construct these huge stages. Uh-huh. And when I left, they had arranged to bring my stuff from California to Vegas and then back to California. And I was in no rush because I didn't have a show for 2 weeks. But and they had done it before, no problem. But this time, the guy never put the stuff on the truck. So my stuff, I was calling them, and it literally was left on a racetrack out in 110, 115 degree weather.
Yeah.
There are photos of my stuff, you know, because people were taking photos going, hey, whose is this? What, you know, and my name was clearly on the cases. So it was totally horrible, you know. And then when I finally, 2 weeks later, you know, they tracked it down. When I got it, it had all been broken into, and most of it was stolen, but what wasn't stolen was picked through. And, you know, so all my entire show, everything that people know me, you know, the four legs, one of the legs was stolen. You know, the most expensive thing, which I still haven't replaced because it was, you know, so expensive, was the fake head that I used.
Oh yeah.
In my various acts.
When you grow,
Puppet Boy,
right?
When I get my head chopped off. Right. When I grow, well, I don't want to say that because I'd be giving something away. But yes, I use my very first act had a fake head, but, you know, and I've progressed up to, you know, a really, really nice one. So that head was probably $6,000, but it's worth $20,000. You know, it's really a good one made by top special effects. And then so Nikki Terminator, my robot, was, you know, most of her was gone on the table and on and on and on. Puppet Boy, the masks, and whatever wasn't stolen was left on the racetrack and basically was, you know, melted into each other.
Just destroyed.
So this is like 3 or 4 years ago. And this is a company I've worked with before. It was literally the one guy, one idiot production manager who was a, you know, a-hole. And I had problems with him before even. And so anyway, when it happened 2 weeks later, I was supposed to do a show. They were trying to find the stuff and still give me attitude. But literally at the same week that happened, or I discovered that it was stolen, I had shows that weekend. And my mom happened to die that week, which just hit me harder than people understand it. But yeah, sure. You more than anybody. But it's but I wasn't ready for it. So it. But the combination of that and my entire show getting stolen was, you know, it literally led to kind of a depression that made me move a month or two later to Vegas, you know, because I just needed to get out of the same room. You know? Mm-hmm. So essentially what happened was I filed with the company. This is a company I really liked. The one guy I was very angry with, and because there were photos of my stuff, it was definitely their fault. And the woman who had booked me that I worked with for years and years, we were making progress. And then as months were into it, the person I was working with trying to get my stuff back was summarily fired. And then all the work I'd done with her, she hadn't been passing it on to the other people. You know what I mean? Yeah. So now it seems like 6 months later when I'm coming at them that it was out of nowhere, you know? And obviously it's tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And it would essentially be like, you know, there's one guy who I'd worked with for years and years who's the big head of the whole festival and essentially Walt Disney of Disneyland, you know. Mm-hmm. So essentially it was pushing them and pushing legally. Or to be honest, I was just like, you know what, it won't cost me that much to replace everything, you know, and then I could still work with this company, you know, because I don't want to be the enemy, which is what I felt like I was going to become.
Right, right.
So that's maybe not the proper way, but I'm just being honest and telling I was in a kind of a bad place anyway. I just didn't feel like making enemies of the you know, one show I really like working, and on and on and on. So that's the story. So that was 3 or 4 years ago now.
Whatever became of that is, did you ever get that replaced? I mean, as far as the company saying, hey, we're sorry, and we have insurance to cover that, and we'll reimburse you, or what?
Yeah, but that never happened. I'm just being honest. It's just yeah. stupid, and, you know, I'll get a million phone calls or messages saying, oh, I can help. But you know what? It was one of those things. I didn't pursue it. You know, it's like I got a good gig in China or Malaysia that was paying money, and, you know, I, you know, got my deposit. So it allowed me to, you know, make a new neon door frame, make a new rope. You know, it's so.
So
it's
you just
like,
kind of moved on from there, basically, and just kind of said, okay, well, that's a lesson learned.
Yeah, kind of. And the lesson learned is follow up on your props, you know, the next day. But
yeah, don't just leave it into someone's hands. And that was the situation, I guess. You pretty much said, okay, we're leaving. I got to go. And you handle this because they should have been the ones responsible for packing it up. And I mean, you had it packed up.
Right.
But they were the ones just had to make sure they ship it. And they didn't. They left it on the racetrack.
Right.
It wasn't
right.
your fault.
Well,
okay, got it.
And there was nothing that could have been done, to be honest. There was nothing. It's the night of the show. There's no truck there to put the stuff on. The guy just didn't do it. It was a once-in-a-lifetime bad thing, you know?
Yeah.
And
there
have been other times when I do Malaysia or China or whatever, I don't see my props for 2 weeks. So it wasn't an odd thing,
uh-huh.
you know what I mean? It was like, oh, you know, this is family. The trucks are coming back, and no rush, because literally where they were bringing the props were 2 miles from me. You know what I mean? So, and in a place where I'd been before. So anyway, what happened was when the stuff finally came back, they finally, the guy said, oh, you might want to come over here because the cases are kind of light. And I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, and these are big cases, you know, and literally nothing in them. So it was like, and I had a show the next day in San Francisco, you know? So anybody who's seen me perform for like the past 2 or 3 or 4 years and, you know, I'm not blaming at all on this, but and something seemed off, you know, is because I basically was using, you know, versions of my show from 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know,
you didn't
what I
mean? Have backup stuff.
I didn't have backup stuff like backed up. It would be the first generation of the Legs Act with the older head or, you know, or like Halloween clown masks that I used when I originally did it instead of, you know, special effects, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the good thing is now that I'm, you know, now I'm actually in a really great place. You know what I mean? It's like I've gone through hard stuff, not just that, but a lot of other things, friends dying and, you know, a lot of really, you know, I'm in through my midlife bad stuff that everybody has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now I've come out of it and I'm positive. I'm working on a show here to do in Vegas and, you know, having been forced to remake everything, and I look at it like, you know, a fresh start rather than the worst day of my life.
Good story. Good. Thanks very much, Rudy. I appreciate it. Good story.
Thank you.
I have with me now Hannibal the Magician, and he has a story about having some of his magic stolen. So what is your story there, Hannibal?
I was working for a restaurant. This is very early in my restaurant magic career, really early in my magic career period, but
like the 80s, 90s, or how long?
95. Let's put it around the 94, 95 area. I was working for an Italian restaurant called Eastside Mario's. I had parked my car near their front door, and the small briefcase that I kept my cards, my chop cup, and various other things to, you know, restaurant performance in the back seat, and apparently had not locked my back doors. I went into a nearby grocer's to get something for my wife, and when I came back, the briefcase was gone. Somebody had just apparently opened the door and taken it.
Right.
Best thing that ever happened to me.
How's that? Wow. That's don't leave me hanging. What would be the best thing?
Because I had studied, as we all do, studied the classics. I was doing Don Allen's chop cup routine. I was doing this, that, and the other, you know, standard restaurant stuff. My props were gone. The thing that I thought was the best part of my act, my chop cup routine, well, my version of Don Allen's chop cup routine, was gone.
Yeah.
So and I had to go to work in like 15 minutes. I was due in to start. So I went into the, there was a drugstore right next door. I went into the drugstore to buy a pack of cards and try to figure out how I could get through it. And brand new, right new on the market, sitting real near where the cards were mini cans of Pringles, the small cans of Pringles.
Yeah, right, right.
And I thought, you know, that's about the same size as my Chop Cup. So I bought the small can of Pringles. I bought an onion and I used one of the cheese shakers from the Italian restaurant, and I developed what became my signature routine because my Chop Cup was stolen.
Huh.
The whole Pringles act developed itself because I lost props that I was comfortable with and had to improvise at a moment's notice.
Yeah,
exactly. And because of – I've been an actor since I've been very, very young, and I have a lot of improv training. And I had never really applied that to magic before. But the loss of all of those things at once and having to improvise on the fly led to this routine, which eventually won awards and got published and became, you know, Hannibal Does the Pringles Act.
Right.
And I might have never, ever discovered that had my props not been stolen.
So it sounds like that your case will be a little bit different as far as what your advice would be is, you know, most people say, well, cover your things up, put it in the trunk or unload it the night before, you know, don't leave it out or whatever. Your advice would be leave things where they can get stolen. So that's why you can
leave
be inspired.
Well, okay, to turn that to a better bit of advice, throw away all the conventional things.
Mm-hmm.
Take your store-bought magic props, put them away, and then look around your house or look around the grocery store or look around the hardware store for something that might work as well or better. Because not by having things stolen, but the Silver Memories Act, the cylinder and coins thing that I do, came from a fact of I didn't want to use the same kind of props that everybody else did. I wanted to have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I stumbled across the ice cream the tube instead of the other one, and that whole routine wrote itself based on just, you know, conventional props.
That's great.
So it was a good omen that it happened. It certainly led to greater things for me. But the lesson it taught me was look for something different. Make it your own.
Good advice. That's a little bit different kind of a twist. Well, thank you very much, Hannibal. I appreciate your story.
I'm known for a different kind of a twist, I guess.
I have with me now Mr. Sebastian Tabani from Argentina. Am I pronouncing that correct, Tabani?
Perfect.
All right. From Argentina. And I understand that you had some of your magic stolen when you were in Los Angeles.
Yes, exactly. I was parking at the Magic Castle last July. And, you know, a guy from the street just came up to the car where he was parking. I was inside the castle and broke with his elbow and wrapped in some jacket or something like that, broke the window and stole my backpack, which I, you know, foolishly left there. And besides my magic act was like clothes, because my civilian clothes, because I changed my clothes to go to the castle because I was running, you know, around LA all day.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of, my iPad, my keys from home, which are very useless in LA because my home is Buenos Aires in Argentina. SIM cards, different SIM cards from UK, Canada, and Argentina as well, and, you know, stuff. Luckily, I, you know, the guy didn't steal my wallet because I had it on me, nor my passport because I never go out with my passport. I always leave it in the place where I'm staying, just me in a house or hotel or whatever. And there was a couple of $100 bills, but my wallet was with me, so everything was replaceable. But the thing with my magic stuff was it took me like a year to replace everything.
Wow, how much do you think that was worth all together that you had lost?
Well, you know, my magic act is basically cards and coins.
Okay.
So it would fit into a box, you know, a little box.
Right.
I had a couple of decks. But there were also a couple of custom-made decks, which I made it myself, which was very, you know, just a drag to do it again, because it was like it took me like 2 or 3 hours to, you know, make the custom decks again. And then I had a couple of things that weren't that easy to replace because they were sold out in magic shops. So I have to, you know, do a scavenger hunt on different shops, and I found one. For example, let me give you an example. You know, Daryl's Ultimate Ambition. It was sold out in red color in everywhere. Everywhere was sold out. They had a blue, but I used red bicycles, so it was okay. Then I found it like 9 months later in a Mississippi magic shop or Missouri magic shop, and I just bought it. And then there were a couple of, you know, another couple of custom-made decks. So basically, I think it was like in cash money or value money, I think it was like 200 or 300.
Right. Now, the things that were stolen, now, I, of course, they have valet parking there, and I guess you were working that week, so you probably parked in the back, like in the employee lot or something?
Yes.
Right. And so were there any other cars that had been broken into or just yours?
No, just mine, because the security guys, which was very gracious to me, you know, they helped me file the report. They told me that there was this guy who was lurking around and saw my car, you know, just being parked. So I think I was flagged, something like that.
Right. And so what advice do you have as far as to other people to that lessons learned, I guess, from this?
Well, first, don't leave anything in your car, even if it's a private parking lot, because unless, you know, it's just a wall, you know, the maybe, you know, guy just can jump in and it's the same if it's private or not, they don't care. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the basic thing I learned is like don't leave everything tight and packed in one place. For example, I have a couple of decks on me and a couple of coins on me, which are very valuable. And because they were with me, they weren't stolen.
Okay.
So I would say that if you leave something in your car, first don't leave it in the seats, just put it in the trunk. And even then, you know, just take with you the most valuable things or the most unreplaceable things or something that you value most and you don't want to be stolen.
Sure. Right. Well, great. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. I have with me now Michael Knight from Toledo, Ohio, and he has a story about magic that was stolen from him. So, Michael, what happened to you?
Actually, I was in a car wreck. I was coming home from a show late at night, fell asleep at the wheel, and ran into a large metal pole that holds up a McDonald's sign. And I woke up to hearing my back window explode. And I look in my rearview mirror, and there's two guys grabbing my cases and toss them out of the back of my SUV.
So they're obviously getting them out of the way so they can come and get you to pull you out.
that's what I hoped at first, yeah.
Yeah.
And I tried to get the door open, and the car was so crunched up on top of me, it actually broke both my legs, my ankle, five ribs. It was a real mess. And so I luckily I couldn't get the door open because I would have, you know, fell if I tried. So I yelled that I had a gun. And they said a dirty word and said, "Oh, he's still alive."
Holy cow.
And so I surprised them that I was still alive.
Holy cow.
So they kind of grabbed what was, and then they heard the cops coming. So unfortunately, I was right across from a like a low-income apartment complex type thing, so they ran into the complex. And
so these guys saw the car wreck from across the street when it happened, and so they weren't in a car and got out, or they weren't in McDonald's.
They just come running across, and apparently it was right on a curve, so they're used to wrecks there.
Oh.
So apparently that's what they do, is they go clean the car out before the cops get there.
Gee-many.
Yeah, and so they grabbed, you know, a few of my ATA cases, and I'm notorious for how I pack my shows to where everything's got to be in a case. And so they were, you know, they were lugging some heavy cases, and, you know, they got a gumball machine. They got, you know, just basically I do a stand-up comedy stage show.
Uh-huh.
And so they got a lot of my stage stuff, some of my PA equipment, stuff like that. But, you know, they ran off with a handful. And I'm not sure how many guys there were. I know I seen two, but I'm not sure how many guys there was.
It's probably like a couple $1,000 worth of stuff if you include like a gumball machine, because that's a pretty expensive thing. Plus, of course, you say the sound system, and that's expensive.
Yeah, so that's – and I guess they thought I was a DJ because I heard him say something, you know, along that line. And then the cops have been put in the – when they hit the news that I was in a wreck, they put out I was a DJ. So
that's interesting.
So, yeah.
So as far as the cops go, so did they, I mean, when they heard the cops coming, then they split, and then you told the cops, did they do anything at the time? They were just there to help you get out, I guess.
Yeah, they basically, they were more worried about getting me out of the car.
To the ER, yeah.
Right. And luckily there was a cop that showed up that he was a friend of mine, and he didn't even realize it was me. He seen the wreck, and then he was like, well, they don't need me, so he was leaving. And one of his buddies called him up and said, you know, said, hey, that's your buddy Magic Mike. So he's like, what? And turned back around. And then once he realized it was me, he got the rest of the showcases out, put it in his cop car, and then my sister picked him up from him.
Because if he would have left him in the car, someone else might have taken the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They would have probably cleaned everything out. But it was a horrendous wreck. And it totally destroyed the car. And then luckily, some of that, well, like I lost a low sander table, but he sent me another one. He was so nice. And but there's a lot of stuff I lost in the wreck that I still haven't got back.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. So obviously the police didn't recover anything, and so you were just kind of out, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was just.
Now, have you then changed your act? Is it completely different now that you've had to replace it with different things? Have you?
Some of the stuff I slowly, because it took me a few years to get back on the road, and
because of your health, we're trying to get up and walk and everything, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was basically in a bed for about 2 years.
Oh my!
The legs are so bad. Actually, they're still, the left leg is 10% grown, and then the bone stopped healing. So there's a rod I walk in. The right leg, there was an infection that got into the bone. So after the first fixator, they took that off. We tried to heal it. Then they had to go in and cut out almost 3 inches of bone. And then they shortened the leg. So I ended up just getting a cage on me for a year. And every day, my fiance at the time would crank on it and shorten it a little bit. And it finally got short enough that, the bones conducted. But that one's about 60% back together. So the pain is just outrageous.
Still today.
But.
And that was 2 years ago?
Actually, the wreck was 2010.
Oh, okay. Gosh, 8 years ago. Okay, goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Goodness,
it was December 5th, 2010.
And, so as far as your story of having things stolen, I mean,
that was the lesser side of trying to live. And because when the wreck first happened, they told my family that I had a 20% chance to live and I would never walk. And at the time, I was over 640 pounds and I lost 300 pounds, during all that happening and everything after. And so it's still, still a struggle.
But, so you're doing shows, though, now? Again?
Yeah, not as heavy. I don't tour like I used to, which, it kills me because I'd love to be on the road.
Sure.
But so now I kind of pick and choose the shows because the show's about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it takes everything I got to do a show.
Right. Well, and as far as any recommendation as to how you would protect your things from getting stolen in the future, that was a very unique situation. It really wasn't stolen in the traditional sense of the word.
Yeah, it wasn't, somebody didn't just pop the door and get in or bust a window to take a case off the front seat. But one thing I would say is watch how you pack your show because you never think about an ATA case flying at your head. So if you get anything out of the show, really think about, because I've actually got one ATA case that's got a hole in it with the mic stand embedded into it. And if that case wasn't there, it would have been my head. So, now anything loose like that goes on the bottom, then all the cases go on top and I pack it like a wall so that nothing will fly at me if there is a wreck.
Well, that's a good advice. And also I hadn't thought about that you're telling people then obviously to be cautious how they pack because you might have an accident. You don't want to have something flying around debris that would kill you more than the wreck would itself.
You never you never really think about it until it happens.
You don't. Well, Michael, thank you very much, and good luck. I hope that you continue to recover.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. I have with me now from Atlanta, Georgia, my friend and yours, Mr. Dan Garrett. Hi there, Dan.
Hey, Scott. Down here in Dixie, we are ready to go.
All righty. I just wanted to find out about your experience. You had some things stolen from you, some magic stuff. What happened?
Right. I had my car broken into, window broken, and a footlocker was stolen. And I was in the middle of a lecture tour. I was spending the night with a friend in Buffalo, New York. And I had three upcoming lectures that week and then four more lectures to finish out the tour. Well, they stole all my lecture notes, things I was going to sell, plus some of my props that I was using for performance. And those were fairly standard, replaceable, except for a couple of items that were custom made.
Uh-huh.
And one of those, the main one, was a rabbit out of my hat that was made by my wife. custom made. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was able to replace that eventually because she had the pattern still.
Well, now, was your car parked in the guy's driveway or out in the street? Obviously, there's someplace they must have just broken the window to get into it, or was it in your trunk, or where was it?
It was on the street and in Buffalo, kind of downtown, so there was not a good place. But I should have gone ahead and been not lazy and lugged the footlocker indoors that night, which I didn't do.
Mm-hmm. But they had broken the window to get in.
Broke the window of the car. It was a station wagon, and so there was glass inside there in the window. And
well, what did you do then as far as having to get the lecture notes reprinted? And you carry on with the lecture or what?
In order of what happened, when I noticed was gone and what was missing and the window was broken, I immediately did a scouring of the neighborhood because this is one of those things, it's a often told story. What they stole was valuable to me, but not to any thief.
Right, so it's best to look in the trash cans nearby.
Right, so I went through all the dumpsters within maybe a 4 or 5 block radius.
Yeah.
To see if they had probably, once they saw what was in there, it was worthless to them, they probably tossed it off in some dumpster somewhere. Well, that was unsuccessful. I didn't find it that way, so I just filed a quick police report. I went to call my contacts for the next 3 lectures. I immediately got on the road with the open broken window and air streaming in and cold air coming in. I drove straight from Buffalo to Atlanta, making calls along the way of telling them that I wouldn't be making the lecture the next 3. I went home. I was able to have in stock some more lecture notes that I'd already had printed.
Yeah.
So I got those out of my storage, and I replaced as many of the props as I could. And my next lecture was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and at Bill Brewery's magic shop.
Sure.
So I was able to replace almost all of the props there. And I did without, the only thing I was without after that stop, and unfortunately was a well-stocked dealer. I was able to get everything I needed or substitute props for what I needed to carry on with the lecture, except for the rabbit in the hat, mm-hmm. which I cut out of the lecture because it was just a performance piece only. There was nothing really to teach.
So what was your lesson learned or something that you would recommend for others to make sure that they don't suffer the same kind of loss?
Right. Well, there's no way to prevent it completely.
Right.
I don't think there's any absolute solution. Just be aware. I was in a situation where I was just assuming that the neighborhood would sustain, and it wasn't a very good neighborhood, so I wasn't aware of my surroundings. And I left the footlocker out there. Usually I have anything out there like golf clubs or footlocker, I cover it up. But here it was covered up with a you know, drop cloth, but it was a lump. So they saw the lump and took a chance that it would be something valuable. And the poor thieves, I feel sorry for them. There was nothing valuable to them. It was extremely valuable to me.
Sure.
The best part to me was that the people were very understanding. In the lectures I had to cancel, they rebooked me the following year. And the others are where I was able to resume the lecture tour. It worked out. It just cost me I didn't have to worry about falling asleep driving home. I was all amped up.
Wired up. Right, right.
Yeah, adrenaline.
Right. Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Sure. Sure. Thanks for asking, and I look forward to seeing the podcast.
Great. You're welcome. All right, I have with me now Russell Anderson, who is from Ellery, South Carolina, and he has an interesting story about what happened to him. So tell us what actually was stolen. What happened?
Well, it's pretty hard for me to forget. On May 14th this year, which today when we're recording this has been 4 weeks, my 26-foot enclosed, what I call my magic trailer, was stolen from my backyard. It was locked up. It was an older trailer, but it was actually a race car trailer.
Oh.
And the reason I had gotten such a large one is because I'm now doing an appearing motorcycle and doing a double levitation. And we basically had done a large school show down in Charleston, which is about 1.5-hour drive. And this was actually the very first time that I had used this trailer. And when they took our trailer, everything that we normally used and a few larger things that we didn't always use were on the trailer that particular time.
Did they take your vehicle, or was it unhooked and someone backed in their own truck and pulled it out, or what?
Actually, I had unhooked my E250, which is a large van with a large engine that could pull this monstrous trailer, and I had just pulled it forward from the trailer enough that they were able to back in at an angle, get the trailer, and take off. Wow. So I wasn't quite close enough to the trailer to block it. And being that it was in my backyard, and I had just unhooked it, I didn't really – I mean, I had all the locks and stuff on it, but you'd be surprised how easily they get by those.
Wow. Now, I assume that you reported that to the police or an insurance company. What was it? I'm sure over $10,000 worth of equipment plus the trailer.
Yes. Actually, my wife came home from dropping our daughter off at school, and she said, "Where's your magic trailer?" And I said, "It's in the backyard." And she said, "No, it's not."
Wow.
So I thought she was kidding, playing a joke. I got up and went and looked, and it was gone. We called the police immediately, the Orangeburg County Police. Immediately they came out very quickly. They looked at the tire tracks in the grass. They took statements. They took the value. And we, even though it was an older trailer and it was a trade of sorts, I do have a title for it. So they were able to have the VIN number and such like that on a national registry. So it could still be found, although it has been a month. And everybody that I know that this has happened to has usually gotten their stuff back within the same day or within just a couple of days. Jason Bishop had his entire trailer stolen, but it was wrecked and recovered.
What would you say would be your lesson learned, I guess, or how would you try to protect yourself from this in the future, or could you? I mean, this was a highly unusual situation.
The police told me if these thieves that want these large trailers want the trailer, they're going to take it. If I had had a better spot, or if I had it more blocked off, which is something that will definitely happen in the future, but that's the future. Another thing to do in hindsight, somebody said, well, put your name all over it, plaster your name all over it. But I didn't want people to necessarily know where I lived on a busy highway.
Sure.
So I didn't really want my name on it. The police said these people must have been very professional, and they must have already had a place that they probably could sell this trailer,
right,
regardless of what ended up being in it.
Right.
A friend of mine suggested I look into GoFundMe, and I saw that it was charities and stuff like that. But she assured me there was something there for, you know, not 501c3 kind of places. And sure enough, it is at GoFundMe.com. You can search Ellery, E-L-L-O-R-E-E, South Carolina, or Russell Anderson, or Stolen Illusionist Trailer. We have estimated on low that we've lost $20,000, and it will probably take us several years to recoup. So we are hoping that our GoFundMe campaign will help us a little bit. In fact, the little bit that it's generated already has helped our wheels start turning again, and just helped us positively,
sure,
helped us in a positive mental way. And like we've been in the newspaper because of this, and we've gotten a little bit of coverage. So hopefully people won't forget us. And when we get our feet back on the ground, we will start to tour, since this was our big ambition for this particular trailer.
Yeah.
At the time, one thing that we lost that we do almost every show was our Mini 3 Cube Zag. So if you know somebody that's selling one cheap, let us know.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much again. I appreciate you sharing the story with us, and I know this has been difficult, and hopefully people will reach out and help to fund you and get you back on your feet and back on the road again. So thanks again, Russell, for sharing your story.
And thank you, Scott, for helping us out.
You're welcome. Now I have with me Mr. Andrew Payne from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and he's got not one but a couple different stories about how that he has lost some magic. And would you mind sharing those stories there for us, Andrew?
Oh, sure. Long and short of it is both of them are probably ultimately my fault. okay. The first one, very simply, this one bugs me more than anything than the second story because it involves, you know, trying to do something nice for somebody. But it was when I was first getting my start in the Virginia Beach area as a local performer. A local magician here who was already performing kind of took me under his wing, showed me the ropes, and got me started. And I had made an attempt to return the favor to another local performer who was just getting his start. And so I taught him a couple of routines. He would come over to my house. Basically, this was set up by somebody else. So in retrospect, I realized I never even had this kid's phone number. Somebody else would set up the meeting. And he would come over. I taught him a couple things and then loaned him a few props, probably about, at the time, I'd say about $400 worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he went to do the show. And when I asked my friend who had booked it how the show went, turns out the kid just vanished with all the props. He just left.
You mean after the show, he just left and you never saw or heard of him again?
Never get a hold of him again. He just took my stuff and that was it.
Was he living in an apartment or something? Or, I mean, how? I mean, you'd think you would know where he lived. I mean, if you had worked with him for a while, I mean, to disappear.
He was actually coming over to my place, so I had no way to contact him. Like I said, the guy I was working for had kind of set it up, and I'm sure that he was in no way involved. It was just a fluke thing.
Sure.
Probably, honestly, more of a lazy teenager that just didn't care to be responsible. You know, maybe he'd done the show, decided he didn't like it, threw the stuff in the closet, and that was it.
Wow. Wow. And then never contacted you, and you couldn't get back with him. Well, what was the second story?
Yeah. The second story was related to a show I was doing at the Virginia Beach Oceanfront. I had set up in a building down there and had run a midnight kind of daylight seance show or full light seance show.
Yeah.
And had quite a bit of props down there. A lot had been custom made. I had some antiques that I was actually using in the show. And after the first season, I decided to put the show on a hiatus for a while because I had my first child and wanted to spend some time raising him. And when you got a baby in the house, it's a little tough to do a midnight performance.
Yeah.
So the stuff ended up staying down there for a few years, and I would stay in touch with people from time to time, and they assured me it was cool to leave the stuff there for when I wanted to start again. And I lost touch with them for maybe about a year and a half or so, and when I recently made contact with them to go get my stuff, I was informed that the building was demolished. And all of my stuff was
demolished also
either
along with
just
it.
Gone or was left in the building while it was torn down.
Wow. So the two takeaways that you have as far as what you would use as a cautionary tale for others for these two stories, what would you advise people?
I don't perform magic anymore. No, I'm kidding.
just stop performing magic.
Yeah,
and you don't have to worry about getting stuff stolen if you don't have anything.
That's right. It makes it easy. So I play music now, and so my gear can be stolen.
You just go to the music store and pick it up. Yeah.
No. Well, obviously now, I mean, I don't think I would have had the same problem with the first scenario, just given the fact that there's so much easier to keep in contact with people now, texting, phone calls, you know, tracking people down via online sources. I think that I probably should have qualified that student a little bit more before being so trusting with the props that I loaned him. That's something I would do differently.
Yeah.
And then in the second scenario, as honestly as funny as it is, frankly, to find that the building was demolished and my stuff was gone, I am still trying to track some things down. I have found that there were a few things that were taken, and I've been able to get some of the audio gear back. But I haven't been able to get back any of like my seating or props or anything. Mm-hmm. And I think the second thing there is that as much as you would be tempted to trust other people with the convenience of having your items stored elsewhere and not taking up room in your home, ultimately you are responsible for your gear. And as nice as someone else may be being for you, you really can't entrust your valuables to somebody else. You really have to keep it in your possession and make sure you have it secured.
Right.
So ultimately, I guess the easy way to say that is, frankly, I was being a bit lazy in then letting somebody else watch my gear for me and ultimately paid a pretty hefty price for that.
So be responsible for your own stuff. Well, great. Well, Andrew, thank you very much. I appreciate you sharing those stories with us, and I wish you good luck with your musician career. Continued success, I should say.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
I have with me now Mr. James Harrison, who lives in Barrie, Ontario, just outside of Toronto, and he's got a story he'd like to share with us. So what happened to you?
Well, like any good working pro magician, I left my props in the car because I'm lazy to bring them out. And it's just the way it goes. You go and do shows, and you're like, I'm too lazy. It's late at night. I'll leave them there and deal with it in the morning.
Right.
In which case, you don't bother, and you just leave it there till the next time you go do your show. Well, this particular summer, we were having incidences of people's cars getting broken into. Just kids, 3 o'clock in the morning, walk around, check in the cars, see if they're locked. Well, it turns out I didn't lock my car that night. So they went in, rifled through all the stuff. Stole the change in my part of it, instead of the ashtray or whatever. And I had a couple items in an iPad cover.
Mm-hmm.
This was a tip given to me by, of all people, Bill Abbott. Said, if you can fit your act in one of these little bags, you're good to go. It's like a good go bag.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great tip. But me being dumb and the kind of person that you got to put warning the coffee's hot, Bill should put something on there saying, please make sure you put this under a chair in your car so that way people don't have mistaken it for an iPad.
Right.
So this guy grabbed it, took it with him. Now, the things that he took were... I can never pronounce this right. La Morgue 3-shell set.
Okay, close
enough.
It was an expensive,
not super expensive, but fairly expensive 3-shell set, along with a Bob Sheets stack. So that was about $300 that was taken. And I also had a wallet and Powerball 60 tickets. Another Bill Abbott thing.
Yeah.
That were in there. Now, I never found the shells. Now, this lady had called because my business card was in the wallet. She said that I'd found your wallet down the street. I'm hoping that you didn't just toss it away or anything. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. Got my wallet. Anything resembling worth anything was out of it. Well, the Powerball tickets are missing. There's no way. He's not that dumb.
Criminals are stupid.
I walk to the local convenience store. I asked the gentleman, excuse me, did someone come in here and try and see if there were any tickets that were worth money? And he goes, yeah, the weird thing was they weren't anything I recognized. I'm like, what happened to them? He goes, threw them in the bin just over there. I walk over, there's all the tickets in the bin. So I got all my Powerball 60 tickets back.
Yeah, that is funny.
So I got my wallet and I got my Powerball and tickets back. So I didn't have to really file anything. And I don't know how I was going to file something saying I'm missing 3 fake walnut shells and a fake stack of poker chips. Could you look for those?
Yeah.
So I just considered it a learning lesson of keeping my doors locked in my car.
So that's your lesson, is make sure you lock your car and take your things in the house at night.
No matter how tired you are, make sure, man, just do that extra trip and grab the stuff out of your car.
Good advice. Well, James, thanks very much. I appreciate hearing your story.
No problem, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Well, I've got an interesting magician here who has a story to tell, Richard the Magician, actually, from Anaheim, California. So, Richard, go ahead. Tell me what's happening with you, or what did happen with you.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. So what happened with me was Christmas of 2016 going into 2017. So I did the show Christmas night, and I was just way too tired to bring all my stuff upstairs from my car. My car was in my parking garage, which is like a big car park for the apartment complex.
Uh-huh.
And the next morning, I went down to get my stuff, and my window was smashed in, and my entire back seat was emptied out. Luckily, they didn't open my trunk because my trunk has my kids' show in it and it's packed. And so that was in the back seat of my car, my floating table, all this cases, which, you know, looking at it afterwards, I'm like, well, duh. You know, some of these cases that stuff is in, they look expensive, right? Like they those lock boxes
right.
that we get from Depot that we think are so cool looking. And that's what the loading table was in, and the briefcase. So somebody saw that in the back of the car the day after Christmas. They think they hit payday. And so they smashed in my window and took my stuff. It was about $2,000 worth of magic was in that back seat.
Did you talk to the police?
Yes, I did. The first thing I did was I kind of sulked a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I called my wife because she was out of town. I called her and told her what happened because I knew we had some sort of insurance and I wasn't sure what the process was, and she handles all that.
Right.
Then I called my renter's insurance. That's the key. I called renter – my renter's insurance covers the break-in, and they told me what to do. They told me that I needed to have a police report, that I needed to have I had to sit there and list down, itemize everything, and the cop was very patient with me. We went through everything. We went through what everything was worth. And then the difficult part after that was for the form for the renter's insurance, I also had to itemize everything out, all the stuff. And, you right. know, sometimes you keep things in your magic case that you may or may not use. You know, people just kind of carry all their stuff with them.
Sure.
And so I'm sure there are things in there that I totally forgot about, but I also had to produce some receipts for things. And that was a difficult thing because, you know, you get some of these things at garage sales, you get some of these things at swap meets, you get some of these things, you know, from some guy online or something, you know, or you made something and there really is no, you know, the value is what you put on it. Having to itemize everything, I think there was more than $2,000 worth of stuff, but I had to figure out how to break it down and at least produce the big receipt. So I was able to produce the receipt for the floating table, and I was able to produce receipts for some of the other stuff. But there, you know, there are some things when I was on the phone with the renter's insurance, I said, look, there are some things in this case that I've had for 20 years. There's no receipt for it, mm-hmm. but this is how much it's worth. This is how much it's worth today. And so what they did was they had me researching. They kind of took me at my word because, I mean, there is a little bit of an honor system thing that goes with it as far as my renter's insurance goes, which I have through USAA. So what I had to do was I had to look up online what it's worth today, and then I sent them that information saying this is what was stolen from me. I don't have a receipt to prove I owned it, but this is what was stolen. With the idea that if I lied about it and they found out I lied about it, then I'm liable for fraud and I can go to jail.
Right.
So, you know, it's best not to lie, but they were kind of taking me at my word that this is something that was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to show this is what it's worth. This is what it all added up to.
And so you got most of it back, less your deductible, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, I got $1,500 back. It was a $500 deductible. So I got $1,500 back, and rather than just replenish the entire show, I upgraded the floating table that I owned, and I called up Lysander and said, I need this table.
It sounds like your advice is basically to make sure that you bring your things in at night rather than leaving them in the car. And then number two is to have insurance.
Have insurance. Bring your stuff in, and also itemize your stuff. After that happened,
mm-hmm.
I went through all the magic, and you can see in the video. This is a podcast, but you know we're Skyping right now, so you can see behind me all my magic stuff and books and everything. I went through and I itemized everything. I inventoried. I wrote down the cost of everything, and then I went back online and looked at receipts. Now I keep every receipt that I get. And
good idea.
If I buy magic, I make sure there's a receipt for it, just in case something like this happens again. Because I also had to deal with the car insurance to try and get the window fixed, because sure. that was another problem. It's also about your own personal safety. Where do you park the car? So those are the key takeaways. Inventory. Good. Make sure you keep receipts. Have renter's insurance.
Right.
And homeowner's insurance, because that covered the stolen items. Your car insurance, it depends on how much damage is done to your car.
Good. Thank you very much, Richard. I appreciate the story and also good advice.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me. And it was a pleasure being on your show.
You're welcome. Next up, I've got a friend of mine, Michael Kaminskas, who is in Baltimore, Maryland, and he's got a story of woe to tell you as well about some things were stolen of yours. Tell us, Michael, what happened?
Well, it's quite a few years ago. I was going to a show in Washington, D.C., and I had a little sports car back then that didn't have a top on it, and it was summertime, so I had the top down. And at the time, I was going to a close-up walk-around gig, but most of my stuff was carried in the doctor's bag. And I had the doctor's bag out. I was going through the stuff when I went to get gas at the gas station, and I put it in the back seat. and then which I guess you couldn't really call it a back seat because it was a little two seater, but sure. I put it in the little storage space behind the seats and went in to go get a drink out of the convenience store there at the gas station. Came back, pumped the gas, and when I got to my gig, I realized that I didn't have any of my magic. That the whole bag had been stolen out of the back of my car.
Right. I assume that someone, when you went in to pay, thought this might be a real doctor's bag and you might have some meds in it or something.
I would think that that's probably what they were thinking, because I couldn't understand why somebody would, want to reach in and grab a doctor's bag other than the fact that, they were trying to get something that they possibly didn't have a prescription for or something like that.
Right. So did you go back and report that to the local police or tell the people there at the gas station to be on the lookout or if anybody turned in anything or look in their trash bin or anything?
Well, both, all of the above. We actually saw it on video camera and saw the person reach into my vehicle and take the bag out and kind of run off. But so it was reported and had police reports and all that stuff. But nothing really ever came out of it other than the fact that I did get insurance to, take care of all the things that I did have in the bag. So, that was covered under my insurance that I had at the time. So I didn't have to worry about that. But probably the biggest valuable lesson that I learned, is to be prepared. And what the person that stole all my stuff didn't know that is in the trunk of my car, and there is today, I always have an emergency magic kit in the trunk of my car.
Goodbye.
And, so it always – it's not the best, but it's got all the things that I can get by, and I can do, 15 minutes on the biggest stage with some ropes or 20 minutes and it has an invisible deck and it's got, basically a standard set of coins that I have in there, with the shell and everything. So, it's what I need to get by in case something like this ever happened. And it was a tip that I got from, a couple of the guys in the D.C. area. I worked in a magic shop at Barry's Magic Shop outside of D.C. for off and on for quite a few years, and that's where I met Scott Alexander and Puck and all the DC crew and Scotty York, and he was the one who told me back then. He said, you should always have, some extra stuff, in your vehicle, or because you never know when you're going to get to either a gig and it's not what they told you it was going to be,
right?
When you got there, or in worst case scenario, it could have what happened to me where your entire case was stolen and you were pretty much out of luck.
Right. Well, at least you're prepared, and that was good advice that they gave you and good advice that you're giving the people here today. Thanks again for sharing your story. I appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott. Take care.
Now I have a story from another friend of mine, Mike Siegel, who's up in Ontario, Canada. So, Mike, what was it that happened to you that you had your thing stolen?
Well, it was sort of the mid-90s. We have a chain of comedy clubs here in Canada called Yuck Yucks.
Uh-huh.
And I had sort of worked for them on and off at many of the different venues. But this was a full-fledged tour that I was leaving on, let's say, Monday morning. In preparation for that, I packed my car Sunday night. I lived in a condominium with its own private underground garage. My plan was wake up Monday morning, hit the road, and, do a week of shows and showcases, basically, for Yuck Yucks.
Okay.
So it was my friend's birthday on the Sunday night. So we had some people over, and that was the other reason, getting some of the equipment out of the house. I had my entire show loaded, including the sound system.
Now, were these illusions and everything, or was it kind of a stand-up comedy show? Or
stand-up comedy.
Okay, so it wasn't like a zigzag and, okay, gotcha.
There were one-person illusions, so I lost, I'm just trying to think. There was a chair suspension and I think a head chopper.
Okay.
As far as big stuff goes, but table case, my countryman Mike, all that stuff. So got up the Monday morning and went downstairs to the garage, and my car wasn't there. In the parking spot, there was a little pile of glass, but no car.
It had disappeared.
It disappeared. I couldn't figure it out. And I lost not only my car, but all the equipment.
So what happened? Obviously, you reported that to the police and they, or an insurance company both. And so what ended up happening? What'd you get back?
Not very much. It's pretty funny. So up here in Canada, we have a thing called no-fault insurance. that was just coming into effect. And it ended up closing, I think, across Canada, it closed two major insurance companies. All the insurance companies had to make an adjustment, but I think two actually just closed down.
Yeah.
So I also carried business insurance at that time. So it was business insurance, home insurance, and my car insurance. Had the police come, they took the statement, and I had an insurance adjuster come, and anybody listening that's a magician right now understands that you're trying to explain that a 50-cent piece actually cost you, you know, $50.
Right.
And, you know, insurance adjusters aren't really keen for that. So I sat down with the guy, and we went through a catalog, and I showed him photos of my show, and we went through the catalog and pointed out each piece. And I think the maximum amount was $10,000, something like that, which was great. I don't think it was going to replace everything, but it was definitely going to do the job.
Sure.
However, I had lost my week of shows. I had to give those up. I did not carry a duplicate set. The insurance company wrote and said that they would give me – I've kept these letters, actually. Wrote and said they would give me $10,000. And the way it was going to work is I go. I buy $5,000 worth of equipment. I send them the receipt. They send me $5,000. I buy another five, send them the receipt, and they send me the other five.
Now, this was just for your magic, not for the car, correct?
Correct.
So you got paid by the insurance company for the $10,000 ultimately.
No, I didn't. I got a letter from them.
Oh.
So I borrowed $5,000 from my mother, and I went and bought magic equipment. And I sent them the receipt for the first $5,000, and they wrote me a letter saying, sorry, we've gone out of business.
Oh,
So one of two insurance companies across Canada happened to be mine and happened to be at that time. So not only did I not have my equipment, but now I owed my mother $5,000.
Oh, boy.
And I had to buy a car.
So what is your lesson learned as far as what you would recommend to others? What would you do differently?
Well, I definitely would not leave my equipment in a car overnight anymore. I do, but that's if I'm in a motel with a window and I can park the car right in front. Otherwise, uh-huh. I always move my equipment, even though it's a pain in the butt. I always take it out of the car.
Well, Mike, thanks very much. I appreciate you sharing the story with us, and I'm glad that's only happened once. And hopefully it will never happen yet again. Appreciate
it. Yeah, keeping my fingers crossed. Thanks.
Now we have a story from a friend of mine here in Texas, actually up in Wichita Falls, Texas, and his name is Ron Wilson. So, Ron, tell me, what was the story? What happened to you? How did you get your magic stolen?
Oh, well, I was a teacher, and I had been teaching for about 5 years. I taught a class called Communication, which dealt with interpersonal communication. And so as a tool, I would use magic to make an illustration of certain things, whether it be an optical illusion or whatever. And
right.
And so then at the end of class, if we had some extra time, I would, you know, maybe show something that I'd been working on.
Was this junior high, high school? What school kind of age group?
High school age.
Okay, so then what happened?
So I left it in my room underneath my computer desk, and I went to lunch, and when I came back, it was gone. So a student had come into my room because I didn't lock my room, and since we're in a small town, they just took it. I had a pretty good idea of who it was, but I didn't have any – we didn't have cameras or anything like that, so – I kind of hoped it would show up after a couple of days, and it never did. So I put out a reward for it. No questions asked. Just bring it back to my room. Everybody in the school, you know, knew that I'm a magician and what I had. And and so I'm sure they all knew where it was or who took it, and it never came back. So eventually, what I did was, after a couple of weeks, and just gave up hope on that, so I gave a speech to all of my communication classes, and basically told them, I said, well, you know, I know you guys know that my close-up case has been taken. And I told this to each and every class. I had like seven classes, and so I wasn't trying to single out any one particular class, although that one student was in just one class. And I told them all the same thing, and I said, you know, whoever did this, you know, I've offered a reward. That hasn't happened, so I'm sure all of my stuff is in the trash somewhere or whatever. And, you know, it's pretty sad that whoever took this can't say anything about it. You can't use any of the stuff. You can't show anybody, and you can't tell anybody. So I don't know what your point is. I mean, I don't know how you win. But secondly, whoever did this, you think that you took my magic. But all you did was you took some cards and some rope and some coins, you know, and a few handkerchiefs and things like that. And all that stuff is just stuff. I said, you didn't take my magic because I'm the magic, and you can't take my magic away from me.
Great.
And I said, so I'm going to continue, and, you know, you're the one that, that loses from doing this. And so there you go. I said, we're done with this, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore, and I'll have another case and more things to do, and we'll just continue on. And I, you know, I hope that person got the message that, when it comes to that, you can't steal our magic. We are the magic. You know, it's us and our relationship with somebody else. When they want to see wonder, when they want to wonder, I'm the one that takes them there and shows them through different types of things.
So ultimately, you never got anything back. And so what's the lesson learned? Would you leave your case out again?
I'm a little more cautious about that now. And, you know, I'm a retired teacher now. And I go and I go to different schools, and I substitute teach a little bit. But otherwise, I'm just mostly working on building my magic business right now. But when I go, I make sure that I take a very small amount of stuff, and I have it on my pockets and just with me. And I don't leave things laying around with them, you know.
All right. Well, listen, Ron, thank you very much. I appreciate the story. Sorry that this happened, and life moves on. So thank you very much for sharing.
All right.
Well, not only do I hope that you enjoyed this particular podcast, but also that you learned something from this from the standpoint of making sure that you keep your things fairly well secure. That is, maybe under lock and key, or at least that you're going to park your car someplace where it's more secure, or take your things out of the car, have insurance, and make sure that it's a good insurance company that is going to be in there for the long haul. Golly, you know, there are a lot of things out there that there are some bad people wanting to do bad things. And So just be cautious, beware. So that's kind of the cautionary tale they're telling. So I appreciate all these people sharing all these tales. Again, that this whole thing kind of started just whenever I had received actually a private message from a friend, Marion Hopman in Canada, who had suggested that I go and listen to this radio broadcast that he had done about some stuff that was stolen, and told his story. And I thought that was kind of an interesting and story that, you know, was entertaining for me, heart-rending, I'm sure, for him. And so that's whenever I posted this on the Magic Word Podcast Facebook page, which if you haven't liked that page, please do, because each month I do an unboxing of stuff from Murphy's, all the tricks that we're going to be reviewing from month to month. But not only that, I there's some other good things that that come out on there that I'd like for you to see. So be sure to go and like our page on the Facebook on Facebook for the Magic Word Podcast. Anyhow, I had posted over there saying, is there anybody who would like to share their stories? And again, I kind of this week have felt like a therapist from the standpoint of letting people talk about what issues that that they have had. And so this way that they can talk about whatever their problem or issue has been. And again, thank you guys very much for sharing all of those different things. There were a couple of other people who wanted to be on this then as well, but due to some schedule conflicts and in Elliot Hitchcock case, he got the flu and he just felt horrible and couldn't get around to it. Anyhow, there were other issues. And as for the story with Marion Hopman, there will be a link on the website where that you can go and hear his story as to what had happened. It's an interesting thing up in Canada then as well. So again, this has been an interesting and a completely different kind of a podcast. And we've got some some good things coming up in the future for some podcasts. A lot of people that I've spoken with that I've kind of gotten the can that I'm planning on posting. One of them is with CJ Johnson that I just spoke with recently and talking about working the college circuit as well as hypnosis shows and marketing and making money with these shows. And it's a phenomenal chat that we had. Also, I've got some chats coming up with Kurt Miller, who many of you may not know, but he is a successful illusionist, and talking about how that he plans for his shows each year and this what he does each month leading up to his annual holiday shows. And it's phenomenal. It's very good stuff that he has to talk about, as well as Jason LaDany, who is one of the top card guys lecturing, and not just lecturing, but I mean performing out there today. And of course, I'm going to be going up to the IBM convention in Grand Rapids, so there'll be daily updates from the convention floor there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So listen for that then as well. So a lot, and plus I'll be chatting with whoever is up there, having some longer conversations, which I'll be posting in future podcasts. So that's kind of it for now. There are a lot of things that we had, so I don't have time really for any reviews here this week. But just a reminder to go and sign up for our newsletter so that you know what is coming up from week to week, and a little more information about some of the tricks that we do review then as well. And so until next week, stay well, get booked, and watch your stuff. This is Scotty out.